You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout Sales Event is on. Lease the new 2020 Nissan Rogue Special Edition from $327 a month for 60 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. The O-Dog is off to do SportsCenter hits in the pregame tonight. Maple Leafs taking on the Wild down at Scotiabank. You can watch it on TSN 4. So we've got the O-Dog jersey in here.
Yes.
Courtesy of our friends at Bulk Mania. They are your one-stop custom clothing shop, bulkmania.ca, a spectacular place. And they hooked us up.
They did hook us up. These are fantastic jerseys.
Yeah, we had Wendell Clark in studio at 4:30, which is always amazing. Whenever you get a chance to see Wendell, it's always great. And somehow the grappler or somebody convinced him to be involved in an absolute debacle of a gong show of a scenario.
Well, Steph claims she did it. Okay. She's trying to take... That's why
I'll give credit to Steph. I'll give credit where it's due. Maybe it was the grappler. Maybe it was Al's brother. I don't know.
Probably the grappler.
Who signed off on it? Who was dotting I's and crossing T's?
Yeah.
But he came in here, Wendell, and handed out a bunch of jerseys. Yeah. And mine had the C on it.
Which is fair. I mean, you
well,
the
I mean, listen, I wasn't the one that wanted the captaincy. Let's point that out. I wasn't, you know, campaigning for it. I wasn't sitting there saying, it's got to be me. I do think I'm captain material, quite frankly, but I'm a humble captain.
I think behind the scenes you were campaigning. I think you were a politician behind the scenes.
Yeah, I might have been trying to, what do they call it, not stoke up some votes.
Well, I think you were, basically you were...
Whip up some votes.
Yeah, but I actually think you were campaigning as far as like... Very quietly, a little comment here or there, like, hey, it'd be nice if we had that on the show. Like, yeah. I think you were basically trying to drum business up, but in a quiet, effective way.
I think you're right. That said, O was the one that asked John Tavares, who's the captain of the show? That wasn't me. And Tavares said, Hayes. You were the one that asked Pinball.
Yes.
Pinball said, Hayes. And then we had Wendell come in. Wendell wasn't paid to come up here.
No.
He took time out of his busy schedule and said, you know what? I want to be a part of this. And he handed over the captaincy jersey to me. So I appreciate that. The O-Dog is not in here, but again, his jersey's up because he really loves it. You've got yours. Al's brother got one. The grappler got one. Mullen got one.
Everyone got
Everyone's jacked up.
The jersey. The only thing that was a slight sore spot for O-Dog was that you got the C, but everyone else was wearing A's, and he felt that was disingenuous.
Well, he feels as if he should have more of a responsibility in the leadership group than, let's say, Al's brother.
Right.
I disagree with that. I think Al's brother is equally as important and is a big voice on this show.
But
he's
feel
a foxhole kind of guy.
I feel like there was a slight protest involved because...
Well, he was sour. He wouldn't even put it on for the picture.
No, he didn't put it on because Al's brother, who is newer on the show, is a veteran...
Yeah, it's kind of like a rookie getting an A.
Cast in the same light. And I think that bothered him because he's an old school guy and he felt there should be a pecking order.
Right.
Al's brother's got, we're not going to haze him, but he's got to go through the process. This is his rookie season.
I guess you're right.
The grappler, this is technically his rookie season.
Yeah, with us anyway. He's been
with us.
You know, he's been with the company for a while, but with us.
Mullins is a journeyman.
Mullins been around for a long time. Mullins pushing 1,000 games here soon.
Yeah, but he's like a Patrick Marleau, consistent, but the thing is he does miss games.
Yeah, so he's not like Patrick Marleau at all. He's not an Iron Man.
Well, he's not a verbata, though. He doesn't call in with the sniffles. What he does is he takes every designated... When the coach gives a day off, he takes it. Where other guys get in the gym, they do a little extra. Remember Kyle Lowry was shooting free throws at like at 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, the optics. Mullins doesn't do that. He doesn't do it for the optics.
I just noticed up on TSN 2, I wasn't paying attention, but Wendell Clark again came in here, and you can find everything online. It'll be up on TSN.ca, up on our Instagram account. I posted pics on my Instagram account at HayesTSN.
Yeah.
Megan, who runs the show for us on the TV side of things, also has the ability to basically put anything she wants up on the screen.
Right.
And Megan pointing out she didn't get a jersey.
Well, she should have.
So who dropped the ball on that? I don't know how Megan got stiffed on that, but I'm going to make sure to rectify that. That's not going to ever happen again. That's because I'm the captain.
Yeah.
So Megan, like, I'll take care of you. Don't worry about
Megan
it.
Megan should have
got the O-Dogs jersey.
Yeah, she can have that one because he's not going to be wearing it anytime soon.
Right.
Although Bobby Mack, I think, may... We have to explain it to Bobby Mack of what's going on.
Yeah, so we had Wendell in here in the 4 p.m. hour.
Very good.
Yeah, Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider, joining us in studio. And somehow he was convinced to be a part of this circus because he handed out jerseys to everybody. And I had the C on my jersey, so it was a big moment for me. And O had an A, Noodles had an A, but O's got a big gripe because Al's brother got an A, the Grappler got an A, Mullen got an A.
Everybody got an A.
Yeah. So, if everyone has an A,
it's kind of diminished.
It's not worth that much.
That's what O feels like. It's diminished. It's
been rightfully so.
It's been watered down. That's what he feels like. The captain, fine, you can live with that. But when everyone gets an A, it's almost like a participation.
He should. He should derail it and just cut the A off.
That might be the move.
Yeah.
Well, Wendell was telling us a story that back in the late 80s to early 90s, before they anointed a
before
new captain.
Before Rob Ramage took over,
right.
He said there was eight of them that had A's.
And they just rotated, and he said it was like Velcro. So if you had a bad game, one of the boys would go up and goof on you and rip the A off your jersey and say...
Now there's rules against that, and I can't have that many.
Oh, well, yeah, you can't have that many, but... I have seen in preseason where if, like, there's a number, I don't know, 64 or something, that name bar has Velcro on it, and they just stick it on
there. Oh, they love doing that.
If you're a guy who's designated pretty much going to be in the minors or going back to junior, you're lucky if you have your name bar.
Well, they basically do that at the draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the draft, they got a bunch of jerseys, but they don't know exactly who they're
going to
pick.
No, it's all Velcro.
And it's just right on there and going right up on stage.
Unless you're first overall.
First overall.
I would think Jack Hughes, his jersey didn't have Velcro on it.
Yeah. Although I think he's freaking out right now.
I was just going to say, here's a guy. I don't know the kid, Bob. I'm sure you've crossed paths with him. But to me, he carries himself like a first overall. And in the preseason, it was dancing around, heroic. And I think the league's like, oh. It's a little tougher than I thought it was going to be. Now, he hit a post last night, and he's
still
all
pointless,
around.
Though.
He is pointless, but I think he's realizing, this is the best league in the
world.
And
it doesn't help that he's not insulated because everything in Jersey right now, I mean, Taylor Hall's not playing well.
Right, right.
Now, he sure got an injury, and he's day-to-day. You know, the goaltending hasn't been good. The D hasn't been good. The top line's not scoring. So their power play hasn't been good. Their penalty killing hasn't been good. So, like, Of the six games they've played, they easily could have had wins in three of them. I mean, they were leading Florida 4-1 yesterday. They were leading the Jets 4-0 or 4-1.
Yeah, it was 4-0.
And 4-0. And so they've had two meltdowns in those games. So if there was maybe a little more insulation around him, it wouldn't be as bad. But I guess the other argument would be it's not just him.
it's PK,
everybody.
It's everyone. Yeah.
It's everybody. So
yeah, they're not off to a good start. I mean, that is putting it lightly.
And we knew going into the year that like a guy like Kaapo Kakko, who just got his first goal, by the way, you know, he's more physically mature. He's more ready to play in the NHL now than Hughes is. But when we saw the preseason, we thought, oh, you know, what doesn't matter? These kids, they figure it out.
Yeah.
They always figure it out. And you know what? Maybe he'll figure this out too, even though he's not the most physically mature kid in the world. Still a pretty special talent.
I know it's way too early, but would you get a little sense that maybe if New Jersey continues to head down this path, there's a couple other teams where maybe expectations are a lot higher than what the team is achieving. Is it too early to be hot seat and coaches, or is it?
It is for me in Jersey, and I mean, you know, Gabby Boudreau is getting a little bit of that in Minnesota before they won. But Pierre LeBrun did a story in The Athletic today on and just talked about it on Insider Trading about how Billy Guerin's not pushing any panic buttons. He's a new GM. He's going to let this play out, see what he's got. Both and Boudreau's in the last year of his coaching contract. He's got 2 years left after this. In a consulting role or whatever with the team. Now, he'll obviously want to try to parlay that into staying behind the bench, but, you know, there's an easy out there at the end of the year if Guerin wants to bring in his own guy. And,
so
we'll see what happens there. So that one's been getting a lot of play. Dallas has been getting a lot of play. And I don't think that there's anybody ready to push any panic buttons in Dallas just yet, at least not on the coaching front or the general manager front. And I just talked on Insider Trading. I don't think Ray Shero is about to punt John Hines. I think he's looking at his goaltending. He's looking at his special teams. He's looking at a lot of, we said it, from top to bottom, they've got a lot of issues. And they easily could have had, you know, they had two loser points. They easily could have had two or three wins and been 500. So it's way too early for that coaching stuff. And that's just a function of the modern day NHL, social media, and the need for everybody to have talking points.
Yeah, exactly.
When a team is off to a really bad start.
Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider in studio. Is this a tank-worthy draft? Top two or three picks? Could you see some teams say, you know what, we don't have a problem with losing some games here?
I think it's always a tank-worthy draft. I mean, if you're predisposed, excuse me.
Like McDavid was to the extreme, though.
Oh, to the extreme. There's the, like...
Generation.
Yeah, but you had Buffalo being like, kicking guys out of the...
Alexi Lafreniere is a really good player, and he's ripping it up in the Quebec League right now, playing fantastic. And Quinton Byfield, 6'4", 215 pounds, you know, amazing, you know, speed and skill for a man that big. But, I mean, it's not Connor McDavid. And so, you know, you get a nice reward. And keep in mind, too, tank-worthy now means you've only got a 20% chance at the first overall pick.
Right.
And you're not even guaranteed the second or the third pick.
Right.
Because of the way the lottery's structured. So it's... probably not anybody sitting there saying, oh, we got to get this guy.
Has people compared this draft? Like, you know, I was talking to a scout the other day in the media lounge at the Tampa-Ottawa game, saying that the depth of this potential draft reminds him. I mean, 03 is known as one of the best, right. Correct?
Yeah.
Is there... at least glimpses of something that type of depth?
I think it's too soon on that front, but they really like the high-end guys here, you know, the two Swedes, Holtz and Raymond. The Perfetti kid in Saginaw, we saw him in the summer, elite goal scorer, and he had 30 goals last year as a 16-year-old in the O. He scored the other night. That was his first goal not into an empty net. I think he's got two goals now, one of them into an empty net. He's off to a bit of a slow start. But you've got another European kid, a German, that we talked about on Insider Trading last week. Darren Dreger talked about him, Tim Stutzel. Yeah. And he's challenging Raymond and Holtz, the two Swedes, as maybe a top European guy. You've got the franchise goalie out of Russia, Askarov. Yes. So the top... 6, 7, 8, 9 guys is really good. The scouts are excited about that group. I think it's too early to say how deep it runs after that.
Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider in studio. Leafs wild tonight on TSN 4. And Mitch Marner's in the spotlight, even though he's put up points. I think he's got 6 points in 6 games. So he's on base.
And he's playing a ton of minutes.
Killing penalties, first power play, which would be expected. But 5-on-5, he's getting a lot of minutes. But you've lived here your whole life. You're familiar with the market. You compound the way he's playing, which I don't think he's playing well, even with the minutes and the points. 5-on-5, I do not think he's been effective.
No.
And the contract.
Not as dynamic as he normally is.
Right. You know he's got more to give. And eventually he will get there. But this is where, you know, a Toronto kid lives in Toronto during the summer. He can say he was up in Muskoka and offline all he wants. I don't believe that. Do you think it could be the psychology that could be factoring in here a little
bit? I just think that whole first line is just not in sync. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tavares is, you know.
He's right there, too, with Marner.
He's in the same boat. And, you know, so, you know, some people would say, oh, Marner is off to a slow start because of the contract and everything that went with it. Or that Tavares is off to a slow start because he's got the captaincy. Or they're both off to a slow start because Hyman's out and people didn't appreciate Hyman. Of those three, I would think the latter might be the most true, just in terms of the way the line's constructed. Right. Kapanen's really grinding the gears, hasn't played particularly well. You know, and one of the things that I'm curious about, and I'm not holding my breath, but with that line not being in sync and Mikheyev playing as well as he's played on that line with Kerfoot and Moore on the third line, I've just wondered, would Mike Babcock even consider the idea of bumping Mikheyev up to the Tavares Marner line, because he more duplicates the kind of game that Hyman is. He's not purely as heavy, but he's a big puck protection guy down low, and slip Kapanen back down the lineup a little bit. Now, the risk you run is the third line's been on fire, and it's been great. So right. Now you might be screwing up your third line. You might not get the results with Mikheyev on the Tavares-Marner line, and so now you've screwed up two lines instead of one of them just being screwed up.
Crazy thought, but I'm watching Tampa the other night. So I watch them against the Leafs, and then I do the Ottawa game. Stamkos, Point, and Kucherov.
All loaded up.
But would Babs even think, like, this is out of the... But why not throw Matthews, Tavares, and Marner? Like, why not give a different look of three top players going over the boards for 20 minutes or 18 to 20 minutes? Like, there's still enough depth there, and I know it, but when Point came back that first night, I'm thinking that's the best line in hockey right there in Tampa with Stamkos, Kucherov.
Yeah.
Now, Stamkos can play center and so can Point, but, like, I don't know. Would it not scare a team?
Well, how about try it during the game?
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe in the game, but the problem they would say is that they don't want to play Nylander at center.
Right.
On the second line, and if you move Matthews up to that top spot, now you don't have a second line center unless right. you put Nylander in there or unless you move Kerfoot up and
right. like
and that's I think it creates too much of a ripple effect, but
it could, but
the salary cap line.
But I'm just
33 million on one
all
line.
All I'm saying is that if I'm an opposing player, I'm looking at the whiteboard. I went in the other day in, you know, Ottawa's dressing room. It had Tampa's lineup there. Now, Cirelli's a really good player.
Yeah, he is.
Really.
And that's why Tampa doesn't feel like loading Point and Stamkos on the same line is going to disadvantage them.
Right.
Because Cirelli can now play second-line center in the right. National Hockey League. And Tyler Johnson, as he's gotten older, who used to be the prototypical second-line center,
right. now
can now
three.
Slide down to number three. So they've got strength down the middle. I think the Leaf argument would be if we move Matthews to the wing with those guys, that we don't have strength down the middle because now we're moving Nylander there and we don't like Nylander at center.
Which is fair, but I just, again, from an optic standpoint.
But how about not even the whiteboard? Like, again, during the game, yeah. you're like, boys, let's go.
But
I'm going to mix in another shift for Matthews.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you can get
You can
double shift a player if they can handle it. Austin Matthews can handle a double shift at some point.
Especially with those players, he'll be dying to get over the board.
To me, it's not only in optics, but if I'm playing against them, it's tough to shut down. Like, I watched, and I know Tampa lost, but that night against Toronto, they had no answer for that top line because
But the thing of it is, if Tavares, forget about who's on the wing with Tavares and Marner.
Right.
If they're playing as well as they can.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not even an issue.
You're,
so I think the bigger issue is putting Matthews up there might light a fire under Tavares and Marner, but it might not. And if it doesn't, now you don't have a credible second line.
Yeah, exactly.
So the key here is that the captain and Mitch need to be a lot better.
Yeah.
In-game adjustments, though, he just is not. It's not his thing, man. Babcock is not interested in doing it. Like, Mikheyev is a perfect example. Doesn't have to be a three-day practice routine and then let the world know that that's where he's going up and then he's got to talk to the media about it. Then Kapanen's got to deal with, why were you demoted? Why do you think it didn't work?
Right.
How about you get into the game and then you say, I'm going to shuffle a couple of things up?
Every
other coach seems to do that. Babcock's not a guy that believes in it.
Watching Boston, I remember Jake DeBrus struggling a little bit and then pushing him around the lineup.
Right.
Pasternak, they got him off that top line and pushed him down. Again, depth and strength down the middle can obviously,
I'll be interested. If they leave Kapanen where he is with Marner and Tavares and they get Hyman back and Hyman goes in and Moore is still playing well in the third line, I'll be interested to see whether Kapanen would automatically go to the third line and displace Moore, or whether Mike might say, you started last year as a fourth liner and you finished really well. Maybe you need to go back to the fourth line.
Yeah.
Be curious to see. And that's if Kapanen continues to struggle. But as for in-game adjustments, I'm making one. I got to go do a game.
Yeah.
There you go.
Go ahead.
Have a good one.
Go do your thing. Bob McKenzie going over to do the panel. Kapanen on.
Bob's doing show prep, by the way. That's why he didn't come back.
Yeah. Oh, he said in the break, he's like, well, why is Bob coming over here? I'm not coming back.
talking to Rennie Fasel.
Yeah, I would like his.
Yeah, he's prepping for the World Juniors.
His show prep is second to none.
Kapanen with Jean Beliveau, I could see that happening.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people in the league that would love to play shotgun with Jean Beliveau the way he's been playing recently.
That's true. You could put him there.
Yeah, you could. They got options, but I'd just love to see some in-game adjustments, man.
It
doesn't have to be the buildup, especially in this market. That's the whole thing. Like, it's you don't have to say, Kapanen, you've got to go out and answer for why it didn't work and go explain why I put you on the fourth line. Do it within the game, ease into it, and then afterwards explain it if it works out. And if it doesn't, you revert back to the way it was anyway.
But you don't have to explain it if it's two shifts. You know, if a guy misses a shift cycle once or twice or gets moved around, all it is a coach going, that guy's going tonight, that line's not going as much. I put him together with them or I pulled him off the line. That's what coaching is.
Well,
and Mike's a good coach. I know
he's, but he's a stubborn coach. He makes up his mind on lines. He makes up on his mind on a game plan. He works his ass off up until the puck drops, and then he goes, this is what we're doing.
Right.
Like, this is what we're doing. I'm playing you here. I'm playing you there. Now, things change based on injuries, penalties,
flow
of the game. But for the most part, he stays committed to whatever he had planned a second before the puck dropped. But I love your idea of find Matthews an extra three or four shifts and put him with Tavares and Marner.
But if that line, if you didn't feel like Kapanen's giving them what they want, maybe it's a guy like Matthews who sparks them and they go, oh, you know what, I'm going to get him the puck. Like, it's just, to me, it's a different look, and sometimes, you know, new can rejuvenate.
I think sparking can be a part of it. Another part of it can just be greed.
Yeah.
Look at, these are our three best forwards. You're going out to play a couple of shifts.
Every night
you're going to play five. We're going to scatter in five shifts with the three of you.
It caught me off guard when Point came back and I saw the lineup just those three together. And I know Cirelli is elevated. Bob laid it out. They have the flexibility to do that because they have depth. But
he's not Mark Messier. I mean, it's not like Cirelli. No, he's a good player. But
what I'm saying is they tried it, and it's you can argue whether Tampa's good or not. I mean, early on, they've been just kind of mediocre as far as expectations. But what I'm saying is looking at that line, if I was playing against them that night, there would have been a second thought going, that's who's coming over the boards for 18 to 20 minutes tonight.
Yeah.
Now, again,
it's a tough matchup.
In-game adjustments, if I'm a goalie and I look up and I see Matthews, Tavares, and Marner, whether it's a line change or not, the three best players are on the ice, should be able to do something. So,
but that's another thing. Babcock believes the third guy has to be a grit grinder that goes into the corners, that checks. That's the Hyman role.
Right.
That's what he wants out of Kapanen when Hyman's not there. That's what he likes about Mikheyev. And I think he would say three guys that are skilled, but who's going to go get the puck?
Right.
But it's not the 1980s anymore. You know?
That's true.
Yeah, and you rely on your best players to go out there and prove. It's actually a great test, and you should make them go out there and prove that they can do that. Yeah. For $11 million a year, your priority is not necessarily forechecking all the time, but you should be able to do it.
Yes.
You have to be able to do it. You're in the NHL.
Oh, I know. And you watch tonight, they'll be fine. Like,
they should win this game, clearly. Minnesota's, they're not a good team. And
it's a battle.
They played yesterday, but
there's
always a trap game in the NHL.
Exactly.
Every night there's a trap game. It felt like LeBron set himself up into a trap and then fell right into it last night. Yeah. And now he's doubled down. In fact, he's gone even further today. So we'll play the clip from last night. We'll get into it, and we'll tell you what went down today with LeBron in L.A. about the China, Daryl Morey tweet, Hong Kong situation, and how LeBron has decided to handle it and whether or not his brand could take a hit for it. We'll get into that next. All right, so the past couple of weeks in the NBA, we always say it's a soap opera, the NBA. This was a drama. This was not necessarily a soap opera. This was more Shakespearean.
Yeah.
Because it's heavy. It's an international story.
And it's this is serious stuff.
Serious stuff. It's a serious issue what's happening in Hong Kong right now. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of money at stake because we know that China is a massive market.
Exactly.
And they got a lot of money. And every league wants a piece of that pie.
Sure.
Every league. But the NBA feels like they've got the inside track.
Yep.
Because of Yao Ming, because of their athletes constantly going over there and promoting their brands. China has a basketball league where they've been recruiting former NBA players. Stephon Marbury was over there for years and famous around the country. And LeBron James, you knew, was going to be front and center in this at some point.
Yep.
And this is just the next chapter in the story that is LeBron James. Whether it's intentional or unintentional, he is a content machine.
Mm-hmm.
Forget what he does on the court, where he's one of the all-time great players.
Mm-hmm.
The decision, the memes, the social media, the movies, the shows, the political and social justice activism. He's constantly in the news.
Yep.
And he's constantly a talking point. People have made careers out of just talking about LeBron James. Lucrative careers.
Yes.
He is the most talked about athlete in sports. And I don't think there's anybody close. There isn't a quarterback close.
No.
I don't think there's an individual athlete that's close. There's not a baseball player, a hockey player. No one comes close to LeBron James.
No.
Nobody.
Because, like, I mean, people talk about Brady and people talk about Tiger, but Tiger's had, you know, he's had his issues.
He has, but there are ebbs and flows with Tiger. The winter months when he's not playing, Tiger kind of disappears.
Yeah, LeBron is front and center. It seems like once a week we hear about LeBron no matter what.
It is a 12-month-a-year story when it comes to LeBron James. And he had 10 days to craft an answer.
Yeah.
10 days. And LeBron is not a guy who's winging anything.
No.
He's got his own group of people. Then he's got the Lakers. Then he's got the NBA. Then he's got Nike.
Yeah.
He was just in China. He knew the second he got back to L.A., he was going to have to go out there. And no one was going to ask him about Anthony Davis or Frank Vogel.
No,
it was going to be Daryl Morey's tweet and what happened in China.
Yep.
And this was the response he had last night.
You all talk about this freedom of speech. Yes, we all do have freedom of speech, but at times there are ramifications for the negative that can happen when you're not thinking about others and you're only thinking about yourself. So I don't believe, I don't want to get into a word or sentence feud with Daryl, Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand, and he spoke. And so many people could have been harmed, not only financially, but physically, emotionally, spiritually. So just be careful what we tweet and we say and what we do, even though, yes, we do have freedom of speech, but there can be a lot of negative that comes with that, too.
Was there a follow-up question to be like, are you educated on this, and what is your opinion?
No, naturally, that did not happen. Because that should have been journalism 101.
Shouldn't that have been?
Okay, how do you know he's misinformed?
Right.
If you're telling everyone you're not informed enough.
Right.
Because that was his way of getting out of the topic. He was willing to talk about Daryl Morey.
Right.
But when people were like, okay, can you speak to what's going on in Hong Kong?
Right.
He's like, I'm not informed enough, which is fine.
Right.
I said this last week. I didn't think LeBron was under any obligation to speak about what's happening in Hong Kong.
Right.
But if you're going to speak on it, you better be consistent with everything else you've been portraying for the past 15 years.
Right. He's firing bullets at Morey, but, you know, oh, but I'm not. Like, that's the thing. I think it's so hypocritical because money's involved. And now he's back here. Make those comments when you're over there.
Well, he wasn't going to do that. He was not going to speak on anything in China.
That's the thing.
And he knew this was coming. Like, again, he knew this was coming. And what looks so bad from my perspective on that comment out of him last night, and we'll tell you what he just said earlier today, is that this is a guy in LeBron James who, I'm a massive LeBron fan. I go out of my way to support LeBron James. He is my generation's all-time great player.
Right.
I have thoroughly enjoyed watching him play. His journey, again, has been fascinating. The amount of content he's supplied, content guys like us, I can't thank him enough for all that. So I try to go out of my way to support him, to stick up for him. But he's always portrayed this image in America or in North America or the Western world where he's about free speech. He's his own man. He fights against social injustices, political activist. And a lot of it was based on his own community. And a lot of it's the black community in the United States, which he is clearly intimately familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's the vibe you're going to give off, And now it's like, okay, here we go. We all know what's going on with Hong Kong and China.
Right.
And all of a sudden it feels like you got marching orders either from the NBA from Nike.
Somebody's gotten in his ear.
And that's the message you're going to send out? No. That's not a good look, man.
I think two people, and again, this is a real sensitive subject because this is real life. This isn't, you know, sports and stuff. This is real life. And the two loudest people out of the NBA who have no problem firing bullets left and right is Steve Kerr and LeBron James. Those are the two that I, you know, and Pop's a guy, too, that's not shy. And I'm not just talking about them taking shots at Donnie Trump. I'm talking more about social injustices, standing up for what they believe is right, which is 100%. I back
They're
that.
Right.
And I respect
and
that.
I hope it continues.
Right.
But I think it's going to be difficult for it to continue.
The minute that they stand up for something over here, people are going to be like, oh, really? Well, what was your stance on X, Y, and Z? And
that's why I think this is clearly about brand protection.
Yes.
It's about protecting the bank. I also think LeBron and his people, they're smart people. They know this will blow over
right
in the States.
For
we
sure
live we don't have attention spans that allow for us to chew on anything long enough.
2 weeks from now when the regular season for the NBA is on and mm-hmm. it'll be behind everyone.
It will be.
Unfortunately.
But it wouldn't be in China, and he knows that. Because
right.
China's been doing the same thing for a long time. They play by their own rules.
Mm-hmm.
They set the rules, and if you don't want to play by them, you're out.
Yeah.
If you want to play by them and do business with them, okay. But
yeah.
It's not your rules.
Yeah.
It's their rules. So they're just continuing the same, you know, theme that they've always portrayed or went with. I think LeBron understands he's going to survive. His brand's going to survive in North America.
For sure.
I don't think he's going to take a hit because of the comment last night. And he doubled down. He even went further today when he was speaking with the media and media asking him clearly, hey, can you follow up on what went down last night?
Right.
And he said, I'm not going to continue to get into it. And the mic drop was, we're not politicians.
Okay.
So all of a sudden,
yeah,
not going to happen. I'm not a politician when I don't want to talk about it. But if it's an issue that he does want to talk about.
I just, honestly, I'm a big LeBron fan too. But in this last calendar year, some of the luster has come off of him for me. Just his season in L.A., the showing up to the game with wine, like the whole, I mean,
up in the owner's box instead on the bench.
He's a larger than life figure anyways. Like you say, he's a generational person that everyone pretty much on this planet knows. That's fine and respects. But some of that, for some reason, with me personally, some of the luster has come off of him.
Well, I think there's also some hypocrisy that should be directed towards the media. And I'll explain why. I think what really bothered LeBron and the other players and the league about Daryl Morey's tweet
right.
was that it has awoken a giant. And the giant's eyes are now going to be focused on the sports world's relationship with China, where for the longest time
they kind of slid under
they were
the radar.
Like, yeah, we get it. You go over there for a week and you do your thing, and it's kind of inconsistent with your message. And this isn't just about LeBron. It's every league, every player. They all come out in North America and say, we're all for freedom, we're all for this, democracy, we're all for fighting against social injustices. And then there's a week every year where they're like, see ya, I'm going to fill my pockets with cash.
I'm going to make some money, yeah.
And that's exactly what they do. And the media has always let that slide.
And turned a blind eye to kind of what goes on.
Absolutely. And what the Morey tweet has done, among many different things, I think has woken up that sleeping giant. And now the next time LeBron goes over, and I got to believe he's supposed to go back over next summer.
For sure.
The American media is going with him this time.
Yeah.
That'll be like a presidential
and asking
visit.
Questions and, you know, what,
where are you going?
Yeah, why are you going over here?
Where are you going? What are you doing when you're over here?
Yeah.
And I think that's another thing that LeBron is like, now I got to explain myself constantly. Because this is not going to go away just because he said,
well,
I'm not commenting on it.
Go a step further.
Anymore.
If you have somebody who actually, a journalist over here, you think of how deep, when you watch CNN and Fox and all the other outlets, how deep people want to dive in on the president's tax returns and everything that gets said, and you know, people that are in political office down in the States or even in Canada, if you start taking a look at where some of the money comes from in a guy like LeBron's brand, oh, by the way, he's getting paid $20 million from this. And now it does, it tarnishes what his wholesome brand has been.
Well, what it comes off as is two-faced.
Right.
For LeBron, and again, he's not alone,
no,
but he is the great LeBron James.
We're talking about LeBron, but it is, it's...
They all do the same thing. You know, in the States or in the Western world, it's about freedom, fighting against injustice, fighting for equality. In China, it's about getting that money.
Right.
That's what it is. Over here, it's... And I don't want that to stop. Those are important messages, and these guys, their words hold a lot of weight.
For sure.
When LeBron James speaks and puts a spotlight on an issue, that issue gets attention.
It does.
And I hope that that doesn't necessarily stop, but I'm thinking it might. I'm thinking LeBron might rethink the way he approaches everything, and I'm thinking the media might rethink the way that they challenge him on everything going forward. And that might have drastic effect on things.
Just because of this, I'm curious to see how much of his brand he makes of Chinese money.
Well, I think it's a fair amount, a lot, and I would guess he's looked at the books and said, I probably hit the top in North America.
Right.
Like, I've made every penny I possibly can with the LeBron brand. Where can we take it next? Like, he's just a microcosm of the league. Right. The NBA's thinking the same thing. We have our ratings. We've got our TV deals. We've got our partners. We're not catching the NFL over here.
Right.
We are what we are. Where can we go to get to the next level? China happens to be the place. But if you're going to work with them, the Chinese are going to determine what the rules are.
Well, that's the spicy meatball about this. And this isn't, you know, it's the rules are very different.
Very different.
Here's the thing you mentioned yesterday that kind of struck a chord with me was the NFL and how they distanced themselves from the Kaepernick situation, because ultimately they felt, and I'm putting words into their mouth, but that it was bad for business. Like, that whole situation.
Yeah.
Regardless of where you fall on your beliefs, it was bad for business. It was bad for the brand. How bad is the tweet / I guess, outcome of this scenario? Have we seen the worst, or can it get worse for the NBA once somebody does decide, well, okay, how much money do you make from the China? Are you going to go back next summer? Who's doing what?
Well, that'll be interesting. Again, it's the investigative journalism digging up. Because remember, there was a report last week that some owners and some teams were worried that if China completely pulled out of business with the NBA, the cap was going to drop 15%. That would indicate they are worth 15% of the overall brand.
That's a chunk.
That is a massive amount of money. There isn't a state in the union, I think, that would be worth that. Like California, what do they supply? 5% of the salary cap?
Right, right.
You know, or whatever it is. I don't know. Yeah. I'm just pulling that number. But that's the kind of cash that we're talking about here. And I think LeBron tried to fall on the sword for the league, for Nike, by saying, hey, Maury doesn't know what he's talking about. And that's directed towards China. And I wouldn't be shocked if he was over there, because China does not mess around.
Right.
They will make you disappear within their country. Yeah. Talk to South Park about that.
Exactly.
And they may have gone up to LeBron or his reps and said, listen,
yeah,
when you go back, if there's any funny business with you saying I support more, there's no more LeBron James in China.
Yeah.
And as crazy as it sounds to us, that's a reality over there. They can do that.
We don't know the extent. That's the thing. We don't know the extent of what these countries are capable of, and it is scary. And that's the thing I didn't like, too, in the tweet, is like, me and my teammates have had a tough week. How about the people that are actually going through the real stuff?
Well, no kidding.
There?
The protesters.
That's where people are pissed. They're going, really? You had a tough week?
Yeah. Come on, LeBron.
Like, that's,
how did you? You're still staying in the Four Seasons penthouse and flying
flown
first
over
class,
charters and making millions and millions of dollars. And there's people that are really dealing with social injustice, and you know you guys have had a tough week. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, your bank account was potentially going to have a tough week.
I'm drawing a blank on the name of the NBA player who tweeted out about
Enes Kanter.
That's who it is. Sorry.
Who's from Turkey, and he has been.
And he's paid a big price.
Yes, excommunicated basically from the country. His family can't get out.
He wants to sucker LeBron.
Well,
like his comments.
That was on purpose. He sent out his list of issues that he's been dealing with, and he's basically saying, thanks, LeBron.
Yeah.
And Andrew Bogut doubled down on it, too.
Yeah.
He said, you're all about the cause until the cause is going to cost you money.
Exactly.
And it's a shame because LeBron, no other way to explain it.
The image didn't seem to be wired that way, but now you're seeing potentially that's what it's wired.
Absolutely. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Tee up the Leaf game tonight. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Leafs against the Wild down at Scotiabank. You can watch it on TSN 4. And then the Leafs are in action tomorrow night down in D.C. playing Washington.
Quick turnaround.
Very quick turnaround. And I would expect probably a packed house tomorrow night, but not if the Nats lose tonight and Game 5 goes tomorrow. Like, that has to be a baseball town right now.
You're
on the verge of a sweep in the NLCS? First time ever going to the World Series?
I don't think anybody saw that coming, though. Not a sweep.
No way. Like, St. Louis is clearly not this world-beater great team, but still, man, I had more respect for them than that. They got smoked last night.
I know. I was thinking that it would at least go, not the distance, but six.
Yeah, I thought so. And considering Washington's journey, again, they were this close to being out in the wild card game.
Yeah.
And then the heroics against Kershaw.
Yeah, like this has been a...
What a ride.
Well, it's a Cinderella story. Now, does Cinderella finish it off, or did they get rinsed in the World Series? Because you always see those teams that,
I know. I don't feel great about them in the World Series.
Yeah. If you were a betting man, do you think the Yankees get through, or they're in tough?
Well, they're down 2-0 right now in the seventh inning. Garrett Cole pitching another gem, man. Like, that's the whole point. You're going to get Cole and Nylander three more times, including today. So Cole goes today in Game 7 if it gets there. Verlander's going Game 6. You know, we had Phillips on yesterday, and he said basically the best chance for the Yankees to win it, they got to win it in 5.
Yeah.
So basically they got to sweep the home series. They lose Game 3, that's not going to happen.
Well, is it the bottom of the 7th, you said, or top of the 7th? Right
yeah,
now?
So it's not over. I mean, the Yankees they're actually rallying right now.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, they're still in it.
There's still a chance. Mary Swanson. We'll see. Runners at...
Actually, Houston's up right now.
Runners at first and third.
Yeah, so Houston's starting to rally, and if they keep putting runs on the board and Cole continues to roll...
Could be in tough shape.
Could be in trouble. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm going over the number in the Habs game tonight.
And lots of goals, eh?
Well, and just like you said, I think Tampa's...
They're a little concerned.
Yeah, I could see 4 cranky. Or 5 tonight.
Yeah.
Old Carey Price could be in for a tough one tonight. Vancouver at home against Detroit, and Carolina's been red hot and the Kings have been awful, but the Kings are paying 220 and Carolina's going to lose a game at some point.
Yeah,
I'll take them. Throw down 20, you can score 112. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. ProLine, get way into the game. Enjoy the Leaf game tonight, the ball games tonight. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. And they'd like to thank their customers for the continued support during the construction on Eglinton. Come on in. They're open.
The Nissan Clear Out sales event is on. Lease the new 2020 Nissan Rogue Special Edition from $327 a month for 60 months. That's like paying only $75 a week.
Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Ave. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout sales event is on. Lease the new 2020 Nissan Rogue Special Edition from $327 a month for 60 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.